Like, welcome everybody. Normally we only release our pre-close briefing when I start talking, but unfortunately I think we had finger trouble and went out at 9 o'clock this morning, so most of you really know what I'm going to say, so I can go pretty quick. I think you're all aware that we expect our operating profit to be up between 20 and 23% in pound sterling. We have continued to see pretty good flows into our asset management and wealth management business, and we expect both of those units to report results ahead of the prior year. I think the South African Specialist Bank is expected to report a sound increase in operating profit in rand. The rand has been a big issue in this environment, the rand against pound sterling, and that will be reflected in the results. And they've seen good growth in revenue, and we've contained costs at inflationary type levels. The Australian specialist banking business has performed well ahead of last year. Remember last year, you were all very grumpy because we had large impairments. Well, the impairments have started to normalize, and so that would have given a big turnaround to those results this year. And the UK Specialist Bank will report results marginally ahead of last year. So, as I said, the rand has been a big factor, and the rand depreciated by 13% in the period. When you look at it today, it's not looking so happy either. And but we have factored that into our expectations. Revenue is between 3 and 4% higher than the prior year. That's after depreciation on leased assets. And recurring income will be approximately 67% of our total revenue. Expenses are expected as well to increase by 3 to 4%. That there are a number of acquisitions in these results that were not there last year. Most of them are fully integrated or in the process of being fully integrated. The large ones, as we mentioned in September, have been fully integrated. And we expect the cost-to-income ratio roughly in line with our group target, just within our group target. As a consequence of all that, our adjusted EPS will be 14 to 17% higher than the prior year. And we expect, and that would translate into 30 to 34% higher in rand as a consequence of the weak pound. I think our core earnings drivers have seen some pretty good growth. Assets under management have increased 13%, which is 18% on a neutral currency basis, to 110 billion pounds. Customer accounts decreased 2% in sterling, but up 4% on a currency neutral basis. And loans in advance were up 3%, of which 9%, that would be 9% on a currency neutral basis. So you're starting to see some activity on the lending side, but at the same time, we're not trying to drive deposit growth. I think on funding and liquidity, we remained reasonably liquid. We have continued to diversify our funding sources. I think that's our main concentration. We have still had elevated cost of funds throughout the period, particularly in the UK and Australia. We started to see at the marginal level those cost of funds come off quite substantially in the last couple of months as the global system gets more liquid. But that would not have had any impact in these results because, on average, the cost of funds has still been elevated. But that does augur well, much better for next year if that sustains itself. Cash balances, as I said, have remained strong, and we've seen a slight decrease in our advances deposit ratio, or increase in it, you can call it, which is from the strategy of diversifying our funding source and trying to reduce our overall level of surplus cash. We've implemented Basel 3 in South Africa and Australia. It's had moderate impact as the risk-weighted assets go up and some of the capital instruments that we have already start getting phased out at 10% per annum. So they're still within our capital target ranges, but they did have a moderate impact. There was some impact on Basel 3, but it would not have been that much, probably 0.5 to our ratios. Our UK business still reports under Basel 2.5 because Basel 3 will only come in next year, and the capital ratios are expected to remain stable. And all ratios we expect to be within our target capital range. Impairments did come down 22% compared to the prior year. They are still a bit elevated as a consequence of weak economic conditions in most of the geographies which we operate. So it is taking longer to clear problems and to deal with problems, and therefore we expect our credit loss ratio to be between 0.83 and 0.88 percent against last year's 1.12 and September's 0.85. So still, you know, not getting to our normalized level of probably around about between 0.6 and 0.7, but at least, you know, quite a lot of improvement. I think in Kensington, the impairments are quite a lot lower than last year, but still higher than the first half. And again, that's as a consequence of weak economic conditions and final completion of our portfolio model, as we mentioned last year, where we had to realign it to best practice. When we look at the individual divisions, and asset management continued to perform well across all its investment capabilities. Had positive net inflows of £3.2 billion, and its financial performance will be marginally, you know, probably a good few percent, but ahead of last year. It has a very strong recent run-up in funds under management, and that is obviously what's been happening in the markets of late, as markets have gone up a lot since, I would say, the back end of December, when you started seeing that what they call that great rotation from fixed income into equities. And on currency neutral basis, funds under management are up 18%. Our wealth and investment business is performing well ahead of last year, as we mentioned in November when we gave the trading update for September. The integration of Williams Dubrow is fully complete. We did acquire NCB in Ireland, and we've seen good growth in their funds under management. We saw net inflows of 0.9, and overall you've seen funds under management up 15%, on a currency-neutral basis up 20%. And we still, during this particular year, are carrying the excess costs arising from the acquisition. Those, as we said in November, will disappear during the next financial year. So overall, we're fairly comfortable where this business is, and I think they have done a good job in integrating the acquisitions. If we look at the Specialist Bank, as we mentioned earlier, it is performing well ahead of last year, but a little bit behind 2013, the first half. I think the key issue is their net interest margin. We've seen loan growth, as I said, of 9%. We've seen improved margins in South Africa, but we did see elevated costs in the UK and Australia, and that came from cost of retail deposits rising, in particular when the world started wobbling, and then it takes time for that to unwind. As I said, we have seen a strong improvement on that front in the last few months, but it still is elevated during the period, and we've remained very liquid. So if you look, our net interest margin will be up in home currency in South Africa, down in the UK, and up in Australia. If we look at fees and commissions, we've seen good private client transactional flow and professional finance activities. They're all performing quite well. We've seen very good performance from our agency and advisory businesses. I think our fees earned in the corporate banking space are expected to be lower than the prior year, as we still wait approvals on transactions that depend on government, etc. So activity levels have been slower, mainly in the South African front. In South Africa, we would see fees and commissions in the Specialist Bank down. In the UK, they're up. And in Australia, they're up from the last year. In our investment and trading income, we've seen a very strong performance from our property group and our unlisted investment portfolio. We've seen lower earnings from our fixed income portfolios in the UK, but that has been partially offset by a good performance in our investment portfolio. And then we have seen lower customer flow activity as volatility has been exceptionally low. So in home currency, you've seen investment trading income up in South Africa, down in the UK, and up in Australia. And then on the cost front, as I said earlier, we've seen inflationary costs in the Specialist Bank in South Africa. We've seen costs in the Specialist Bank go down in the UK as a consequence of some of the rationalisation that has been taking place, and we've seen costs in Australia go up as a consequence of an acquisition I think we bought in May last year a asset finance business. So other information, our effective tax rate still between 18 and 19%. We do expect it to start getting up to the early 20s within the next year or two. I think our number of shares in issue have remained the same at 856 million. That's what we expect the average to be, which was similar to September. I think one thing that was not announced in the earlier announcement that has just gone out on SENS is we have entered into an agreement with Key Management of Investec Asset Management to sell a portion of our shareholding to them, and it's a change in their basic compensation structures going forward. I think that we will sell a 15% stake to a consortium of management, and they will have an option to acquire a further 5% stake over the next 7 years at a maximum of 1% per year. The purchase price is £180 million in cash, and 40 of the senior management employees who have been with the firm for at least in excess of 5 years will participate. It will be funded through £90 million from equity provided by the individuals and £90 million through debt arrangements, of which £50 million will be provided by HSBC and £40 million will be provided by Investec. We have signed some of the definitive agreements, but it's obviously subject to a whole host of regulatory approvals and finalization of all the documentation, which we expect to happen by the end of July. I think the background to the transaction is we see, as we've always said, Investec Asset Management is a core business for Investec. I think that management of Investec Asset Management done a very good job in building this business into a global business. And we've had a team of people that have been with us for a very, very long time. We believe that the experience is well recognized in the industry. And one of the purposes of this deal is to ensure sustainability over the long term. These shares will rotate within the management structure of Investec Asset Management. They can't go out to third parties, and they can come back to the group for issue to new management as we grow ourselves out into the future and as life changes into the future. We think that also from an industry point of view, there is our client base are global financial institutions, whether they private banks, sovereign wealth funds, pension funds, etc., and they have a need to see management very much closely linked to the organization. So we believe it does underpin long-term commitment and ensures that asset management are well-placed to continue to deliver value that they have over many, many years. As I said earlier, the stake will always be transferable to future generations. So it's not intended that this stake can go out to third parties. And we believe that the transaction is done at a very fair valuation for a minority stake in a non-controlling interest and a stake being liquid, non-liquid stake. We have a fair and reasonable from a premier investment bank, Goldman Sachs, who've been the advisor to Investec on this transaction. So as I said, it is subject to certain conditions and various regulatory approvals and finalization of documentation, which should take a couple of months still to implement. But it is important that we let the market know about this now, as we've got to a point where we are in definitive agreement. I think if I conclude, we have continued to see good inflows into our asset management and wealth management businesses. I think we've seen good growth in our loans in our professional finance, asset finance, and structured and project finance businesses. And we believe that we're starting to see a big improvement in the cost of funds, and we believe that will help our net interest income going forward. I think you know, while impairments did decrease 22%, they did remain elevated, as I mentioned, because of weak economic conditions. And, you know, obviously, how we progress on the impairment front going forward is very dependent on how economies do. But we do believe that that our ratio, our impairment charge, will continue to come down. We know that global markets have rallied strongly over the last few months. However, the confidence in equities is still not reflected on the ground, and we do expect that if global markets continue to perform the way they're doing, you should see some improvement in general economic activity going forward. Obviously, we said this many times, the world has been so volatile that it can turn on a second, but it does feel like the world is getting into a better place, but there's still a lot of bombs that can go off here and there. And so, finally, our operating profit, as you can see, is underpinned by a strong recurring revenue base and a very strong business franchise in all our geographies in which we operate. So that's an update, and hopefully I see some of our old friends, because we send the stuff on SENS early, didn't rock up, so they're not yet to ask questions about the asset management deal, but I'm sure we'll get lots of calls. So that's the conclusion, that's where we are. Any questions? I'll start in South Africa. Voigt. Oh, you're not shouting. Last time you fired us. When we told you about impairments in Australia, you fired me, Bernard, anyone you could fire. Eh?
Stephen, just looking at this deal, can you give some clarity over the terms for the additional 1% a year, how you'll define the purchase consideration?
There's a formula, and the minimum price will be the current price. So it's based on a run rate EBITDA going forward, and the minimum price will be the current price. So that will be all in the circular, but the circular you won't see for a few weeks.
Okay, so just to understand that the EBITDA multiple effectively on this first chunk is roughly what it'll be going forward?
Yes.
Okay.
So it moves in and out at the same formula.
Yeah, thanks.
Ah, Ruby, you're back. Are you on tea today?
At lunch, actually.
Lunch, okay, yeah. We'll organize that.
Okay. Mr. Kossoff, one of your conclusions was that impairments are expected to come down subject to economic conditions. That's all fair. However, on page 10, you do state with regard to impairments in Kensington that although they are lower than the prior year, they are going to be higher than first half 13.
Yeah, most of that's from a model adjustment on portfolio impairment.
This, of course, clearly suggests that things are coming to an even keel in Kensington. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's obviously much less of an issue than it was 5 years ago. The biggest issue in Kensington was Ireland.
Yes.
And Ireland blew up, and Ireland is turning. If you look at Ireland house prices, they've stabilized. But it's still... You know, things are not moving. So it's still hard.
Good. That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Okay.
What time is lunch, incidentally?
We'll organize your special. You're a bit early. We've got any more questions, yeah? Can we switch to London?
James is...
Where's James come? James, you've got nothing, James. No bounces.
James? No questions, Steve. You got away lightly.
Okay. All right, well then, we can all go and have something to drink and eat. Any, no questions yet? I see Louis still giving up on us. Okay.
Hi, Stephen Manchus.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be in the pack, but just as a matter of interest, I take it the players would have to sell back their shares on retirement. And do you have a compulsory retirement?
Well, in South Africa, there's retirement age. In the UK, there's not a retirement age because it's against the law. But there's a formula by which they can keep their shares for a period post-retirement, if they've been here for longer than 15 years. But there's a drop dead date where they have to sell them back. Or they drop dead. Anything else? Anything else? But all that stuff will be in the circular, Steve, but the circular you'll have to wait for a while. Sorry, Ronnie?
To unlock value in Investec in terms of the constituent parts?
No. It's part of ensuring that a business that is very people-driven is sustainable.
As transactions take place away from the first tranche, will you be doing a revaluation based on any transactions or an upgrade in terms of market prices?
It's forward-looking. So it works out EBITDA forward-looking and would recalculate a price based on run rate EBITDA at a point in time.
Okay. Thank you.
So that automatically adjusts it to market price. But remember, it's a very liquid stake. It can only circulate, not like a share that a listed instrument that can go out to any third party. Is that it? Okay, thanks very much, and thanks for attending.